Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you that you are leading and guiding us to everything. We praise you for it, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for your word, because you've told us that you have put everything under your feet. It's under subjection to you and us. And we thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, I command everybody's communications tonight to be great and no interference whatsoever. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to praise you, glorify you for the prayers that you've already answered for us, that we know that they are being answered even as we speak. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night, because we're going to allow you to be in charge. You're our sovereign God, and we just praise you and glorify you, Father, because you're worthy of our prayer, our praise. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that we have spoken today. David and I and Brandy and all of us and everybody on this fellowship have spoken today are being answered right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, because we know it's done. We already know it's done. And Father, we thank you for guiding us tonight to do whatever it is that you'd have us to go into. In the name that's above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your everyday abiding in us and us abiding in you, letting us put aside some time. Lord, I know we get distracted like I did today, distracted from doing that. But Father God, I know that you'll put it in our heart before the night's over to do that. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel good tonight. I do feel better now that I've prayed. Thank you, Lord. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Can y'all test your faith to do something that you've never asked before? Can you do that? You want anybody want to do that and see God do it? I see some hesitation here. Y'all wonder what I'm going to pray, but I'm going to pray something that's going to absolutely test our faith with the Lord. And I believe in miracles. Do y'all believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. I've seen them, and I know God can do them. So let's get after it. Father God, your word says that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And you said also, Father God, that you have put all things in subjection under his feet, under Jesus' feet. And I thank you, Father, that it also says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I love you, Lord, and everybody in here does too. And you told us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing in everything, give thanks. And I'm giving you thanks for what we're fixing to pray, Father God, because this is going to test us. And I thank you, Father, because you know that when we pray, we're going to believe it, and it's going to be written. And I thank you, Father, for doing this. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I command food to show up at all the missionaries' homes that need food. I command food that they like to eat that will sustain them through the days ahead to show up in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon these missionaries that have been doing your work. Every time they go out, that your angels, your warrior angels, will surround them. None of these Catholics would be able to kill them or harm them in any way. Now, Lord, here's the big one. I thank you, Father, for taking out these murderous people out in the way, all the way up to the top. And I thank you, Father, for doing that, for cleansing these evil people. And I thank you, Father, for exposing it to the world in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you for it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, it is done. It is done. It is done. It is done. And I praise you for it and I glorify you for it. And from this day and from this hour forth, I'm going to praise and thank you for it throughout the night, throughout tomorrow, throughout until it has already manifested. Lord, it has already manifested, and I praise you for it, that your angels are on the job right now doing it as we see fit. And I thank you, Father, for taking the money from the enemy, giving it to the missionaries in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that those downcast eyes and downcast lips are going to be turned up into great smiles because you have showed great mercy upon them, Father God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. It is done. Thank you, Father. No more starving babies. No more starving mamas. No more starving daddies. And we praise you for it, Father. No more killing of our missionaries in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that they have all, no more killings. No more killings whatsoever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Y'all believe that? Y'all believe the food's there, the provision's there, and the enemy has been taken care of. Glory to God. I do too. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. I know it's done. He said, if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. Well, we did. We asked it in Jesus' name, and he did it. He gonna do it. Is that Katie? Hey, girl.
Hey.
You gonna give us a little update?
Yes.
All right. That's it, girl.
Okay. So it's been forever since I've been on here. Things are definitely hectic, but the Lord is so faithful to answer our prayers so backstory. If you guys didn't know, my husband Tim was struggling with addiction really bad. He relapsed like a week or so before we had our daughter. And it was the hardest time of my life, I would say. And I was like, Lord, what is happening? And what do I do? And like a month before it even happened, the Lord spoke to me loud and clear and was like, love your husband and serve him. He needs you now more than ever. And I was like, huh? Okay. You know, I didn't know there was anything going on. But then obviously everything came to the surface. And then I asked the Lord, I'm like, what do I do? And that's all he said again. He said, love your husband and serve him. And I was like, I was like, okay, I know we're supposed to do that, but I'm like, how do I do that right now when like there's just chaos, you know, and he's doing drugs? I'm like, how do you love and serve someone when they're doing that? And the Lord didn't say anything else. He just repeated himself. He said, love him and serve him. And so I was like, okay. And admittedly, I didn't do that at first, and it was really hard. And the Lord showed me every single time that I didn't listen to him, the fruit that comes from it, which is bad fruit. Because every time I opened my mouth, it just got worse. And we were dividing more through me speaking, even if it was just me telling him how I feel. So I didn't even need to do that. He already knew. And so every time I said anything, the Lord would just correct me. And I'm like, oh, okay, God, help me. And I had to be in prayer every day. Like, just help me, like, keep me quiet, Lord, because I could not do it on my own. I was so frustrated. And eventually I surrendered fully. I repented and I was quiet and I just served him and I loved him. I didn't say anything. I didn't complain. I stopped with the name calling. I stopped with the accusations and even just telling him how I felt. I stopped all of that and just was quiet because that's what the Lord would tell me every time. Like instantly he'd be like, be quiet. I'm like, okay, okay, okay. I know. And so thankfully I started listening to him. And at first I was disheartened because I guess I expected like a giant miracle to happen like right away the second that I started listening, but that's not what happened. But through it, there were beautiful moments even in the storm, which is totally all the Lord, because I don't think anyone would be able to even understand that, because they were all like, oh, I'm so sorry. What you went through was so hard. And it was, but like, there were some beautiful moments when I started listening to the Lord, and there were moments we had where he started opening up and being more close with me, and he didn't want to leave anymore because he was leaving to like avoid the arguing. But like, when I stopped doing that, we started talking again, we started growing closer, and he was opening up about things, and it was beautiful. And so the Lord started working in him through that. And then he started working in me big time, because the Lord was exposing so much flesh in me throughout all of this and purging so much out of me, and like really using this as such a growth thing for me, which was amazing. Cause I think there were certain things that would never have been brought up if that didn't happen. So praise God. But so as time went on, he was really working in Pim's heart, and God was lining things up just so supernaturally perfect. And we had found a church in the area, because we were praying on where to go and who to talk to in our area. And God led us to a recovery-based church. So people that all had a past and addiction that have been set free from it. And it was perfect. Tim was really loving it, but I knew he needed something more. And I was praying. I'm like, Lord, what do we do here? And then Tim found this place through one of the brothers there that is focused totally on Jesus, on deliverance, on the gospel. And they do like some deep teachings and things that I've only heard like David talk about, and like the inner courts, outer courts, and holies of holies, and like teachings on that and stuff. And I was like, whoa, this is really cool. And so Tim was like, I want to go there. And I'm like, huh? Cause he was so against going anywhere. He's like, I'm not doing anything. Like, no way, no way, no way. But that was when I was like, you know, telling him and pushing him. But when I stopped doing that, the Lord started doing it in him for me instead, you know, praise God. And he started working in him when I backed off. And so he found this place, and he went, and he had gotten baptized 2 weeks ago. He's totally, completely, in every way surrendered to the Lord. Like, he knew the Lord before and he was following him, but like, he was still holding on to things. And like, a big thing was he was on methadone, and like the maintenance drug they give you to get off other drugs, which I think is so stupid because it's just another chain. But he, that was one thing he was holding on to for comfort. And so now he got rid of all that. He did it cold turkey too, which is amazing. And the Lord delivered him after 3 days of withdrawal. He just got up out of bed. He heard, get up, Lazarus. And he got up and he got out of bed, and he just was totally healed of all the withdrawal, which is so miraculous, because methadone withdrawal is nasty. Like, I've seen him go through it before, and it was over 2 weeks of withdrawal, and it only stopped because he got back on it. And this should have continued for over a month, but he was totally set free, and everyone in the place he was at was just like, wow, like, that was totally the Lord. That was amazing. Like, I had brothers there talk to me and was like, yeah, he was like in a coma, and then the Lord just delivered him. And I'm like, yeah, praise God, because we were all praying that he would be supernaturally delivered from that. So then after that, he was just like praising the Lord nonstop, and he's been growing at an exponential rate, and the Lord is doing so much in him, and I've never seen him doing this well, and it's just beautiful. And like, he's helping other brothers there already, and the Lord's just confirming so many things, and it's just amazing, because the whole time the Lord was telling me to hold on and that everything's gonna be fine, I just couldn't see how. Like, I could see him being okay, I just had no idea how it was gonna happen. And I see why the Lord didn't tell me, because I would have been like, oh no, because it's a 9-month program, and I would have been like, oh, we just had a baby, I don't want him to go away for 9 months. So I probably would have fought the Lord on it. So I'm kind of glad he didn't tell me at the time, because I would have been disheartened with everything else going on. But it's such a blessing, because even though it's 9 months, I get to see him multiple times a week, because they do fellowship there, and they've invited me to all of it, and they've given me all the curriculum that he's doing, which is, it's basically like a discipleship school. It's not even really a rehab. It's just focused on Jesus. There's no 12 steps and worldly stupidness. It's all Jesus. And so that's amazing. And they said they've never seen a husband and a wife on the same page like this. So it's a blessing to them as well. And on Sunday, I get to visit for 12 to 8, so I get to see him all day, and I get to bring the baby, so he's not really missing out on too much, which is another huge blessing, because if he would have went to any worldly facility, it's like a few months before you can even see them, and you get like a half hour visit here and there. So praise God, he answered literally every single prayer, and this time away has been a blessing too, because it's like we're both in this like preparation stage to like prepare for him to come home and prepare for each other, you know, because there's a lot of things that the Lord is revealing in me that I'm working on with the Lord right now, and same with Tim, obviously. And it's been a beautiful parallel of like how we prepare ourselves for the Lord, you know, like a husband and wife relationship parallels our relationship with the Lord, like more than anything else does. So I've been thinking a lot about that, and the Lord's been teaching me a lot about that in that. So it's been a beautiful journey. There was a massive storm, but I can see why it happened, and the Lord has just done so much through it. Like the biggest growth period I've ever went through. Praise God.
That is absolutely amazing. You give Tim a great big hug for us, will you?
And we're going to be,
we're going to be very glad to see him. Yes. I'll tell you, it kind of chokes you up when you see a wife and a husband finally getting it with God, you know?
Yes, really, and does. He has so many testimonies already to share. So I'm sure when he's out of there in 8 more months, there's going to be so much he has to share with y'all, because absolutely, there's already so much that the Lord's been doing. Like he's been journaling every day and writing things down, and it's just amazing what the Lord is doing. Like he's really just growing him. Because he always loved the Lord. It's just there was always that stronghold of addiction and comfort and fear all in there, and he was so disheartened. He felt like he could never break through it, but the Lord just did it. Like he just got on his knees and the Lord took it from him, like completely, and he's so free.
That's awesome. Praise God. That's awesome. Ooh, my. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Tim and Katie too, Lord. We praise you, Father, for the work. And what's the little kid's name?
Eden.
Eden, yeah, and Eden also, Lord. Thank you for doing that for Katie, Eden, and Tim. We praise you, Father, for that you've got all three of them up in your arms. We thank you for the work that you're doing in them, Lord, in Jesus' name. That's really a heartbreaking story, Katie.
Oh, and the last thing I wanted to share was that everyone throughout this was calling me crazy for staying, because, you know, he was using drugs and we just had a baby, and they're like, why are you staying with him? Like, you need to leave. And like, I was hearing this in my head too, of like the worldly thoughts of like, if you're staying, you're enabling him, and then you're just teaching him that he can do this and have you too. Like, that's what everyone was telling me. And that's what my own head was telling me at certain times too. And I'm like, no, I need to delete all logic and just go on what God is telling me and go on the word of God. And I was really reflecting on like 1 Peter 3, where it tells you like how wives should act. And even if their husband isn't following, you know, what the Lord's commands are, like it doesn't say, okay, then just leave. It does not say that anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, Lord, I need to do this. I need to follow you and not what everyone else is saying. But it was so hard because like all of our family was just like, Katie, what are you doing? You need to get out of there. You're crazy. But the Lord was so faithful in it, because now I've sat down and talked with them, and they're both like, his parents were saying to me the most to leave. And they sat down with me and they're like, we're so thankful that you didn't leave. And we really thank you for it. And I'm like, God, all the Lord. I'm like, praise God, because Tim even said to me, he said, if you would have left, I would not have gone in. It would have just been fuel for him to keep running that direction, because he would have just felt rejected and hurt, and the enemy would have just kept hitting him harder. But God is faithful, and we need to listen to him, even if it doesn't make sense to us at that time, because God sees everything and he knows what's perfect and what we need to do. And it's just another giant praise report, because all glory to him. And I want it to encourage other people too, you know, that are going through hard times in their marriage, and knowing that staying is powerful and loving them is powerful. And right after all of this is when Michael had sent out that email of that booklet on love, and it just made me laugh because I was reading through it and I'm like, this is all of what the Lord was teaching me about, like about dying to self, throwing selfishness out the window, and just the love of Christ. And every single thing in there was just reiterating all of what God had been teaching me over the last 6 months. So praise God, is that was right after Tim went in that Michael sent it, and I'm like, that's perfect timing.
Amen. If you would do something for me, Katie, and thousands of other people, write this up just like you said it.
Yes, for just sure. That,
because it will help so many women and men too out there. There is a pandemic of drug addiction in this country. Yes. Of Christians, and it will help them. It will help them. It helped me because, I've got people in my family that are drug addicts, and you just have to love them to Jesus. You can't fight them to Jesus, can you?
No, no, no. God was telling me every time I was doing that to stop. Because he already did. He knew. And it wasn't even anything I could say. And I knew that the word said that too, especially as a wife. Like, we're not supposed to say anything really. We're supposed to just love and show them by our character. And that's what the Lord was telling me. And that's what works, you know, because it's God's way. It's not our way. And don't think anyone is ever too far gone into drugs, because if anyone was, by definition, it was Tim. Like, he was labeled by every past rehab as like off the charts as far as addiction goes. Like, he was the worst of the worst is what they always considered him. And bad report, bad report, bad report. Over 15 years of addiction, and the Lord totally set him free. And by worldly standards, that's impossible. And like with the methadone, oh, you have to taper off. You can't just cold turkey it. But he felt so strong that the Lord was telling him, just get rid of it, end it. And he had been feeling that for months. Like, he's like, Katie, you don't know how many times I heard the Lord say to me, get off the methadone. And he was just so scared, you know, because he didn't know what life was really without that stuff. But praise God, he is free. And I have not seen him like this in so long. Like, we had grown up together. I've known him my whole life, actually. So this reminds me of the Tim when we were young, like before the drugs crept in, but obviously even greater because Jesus, you know. But it's just so beautiful to see that freeness without that hurt and that pain and all of the chaos that the drugs cause. And it's all because of the Lord and how faithful he is. And praise God.
Praise God is right. Thank you, Father. We just praise you, Lord, for you're setting them free, setting him free, and setting Katie free, setting Eden free, all of them, Lord, and their mamas and daddies too, Lord, because they see what happens when you just follow the Lord. That great and mighty miracles happen in Jesus' name, and we praise you for it, Father. Glory to God. I tell you what, it's hard to keep from just crying and in happiness, if that's possible. You know what I mean? Yes, we are. We're happy for y'all. We're all happy, very happy for you. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Well, I don't know how we could top that. Good gracious. All right, I'll see y'all next week. Oh, wow, that's great. That is so great. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, it's going to be. She's going to write it up. Yep, rainbows follow the storms. All right, anyone else got something they'd like to testimony about? Yeah, Missy. Thank you, Katie.
I sent a text out to several of y'all, plus some locals, a prayer for Merle yesterday. He wasn't actually Tuesday night. I didn't notice until yesterday morning. He got up and he wasn't feeling good. And he said he was achy all over. And he said that Tuesday night, his he had a pain in his like his stomach, sharp pains, but it went away. And you know, the thing of it is the Lord reminded me that this thought came to me, and I thought it was like from the enemy, you know, like Merle was sick or something, you know, or he was gonna get sick or just something like that. And I said, no, Merle's not sick, he's healthy and whatever, you know, it was like, I think it was just in my mind. I can't remember if it was right after the outreach I that happened or it was in the middle of it. I don't remember which, but I anyway, so when he told me that morning, yesterday morning, I prayed for him and I just encouraged him to praise and thank the Lord, you know, and all. And usually on Wednesdays we go to the donut shop and he wasn't sure if he wanted to go. And I said, well, I'll drive if you want. I said, well, let's just go in faith, you know, act it out, walk it out. So he said, okay. But all he got, usually he gets coffee and a donut. Well, he got a Coke. That's all he I'm like, oh, in the morning, yuck. Anyway, but I guess he felt he wanted to drink that, maybe help make his stomach feel better. I don't know. But anyway, so then he didn't really eat anything until tomorrow last evening, and I think by the time he went to bed, he was like feeling all fine, and then he got up this morning, he was definitely feeling all better. And you know, and I was just praying, Lord, remind him of what happened, the last time he had these stomach pains. He ended up going to the hospital, and they there that was a whole debacle. But anyway, because it's like he had fallen and gotten fallen on ice 1 year. And hit his head and had gotten a concussion, and for several months he dealt with that and everything, and he wasn't on board with believing and praying, you know, or whatever. But then when it happened the second time, he was like on board because he just, I guess that just caused the Lord to exercise his faith. So I think, I don't know for sure, but my sense was is. The same thing was trying to hit him again that hit him, and he was in the hospital last time. I don't know for sure, but so I think he, you know, just exercise faith and believe the Lord, you know, and all. But anyway, just praise the Lord and thank the Lord for that. So praise you, Lord, for these trials that help us to exercise faith and know we don't want to go back to the situation we had before. And so, you know, I need to, you know, believe you to be my savior. Thank you, Lord, for increasing Merle's faith in many more areas, Lord, and believing you to be his savior. But anyway, having said that, I wanted to pray for the Merle actually came down this morning, like one of the first things he said to me. He had this tear run. He started to tell me about something. He started telling me about what was going on over in the Middle East that he saw with Israel, and he got all choked up and he couldn't finish. He could hardly finish telling me, this big tear running down his cheek, and he said they're killing people, killing children, they're raping women and they're beheading people and stuff like that. And so I encouraged him to pray with me, you know, for them or whatever. So I'd like us all to pray for especially the Lord's elect over there, you know. And Father, we just well, we know that you're sovereign and you use all things, Father, and I pray for your elect among the Jews over there, and even those that aren't the Jewish people over there that have, there were a lot of Americans that were over there too, that they're trying to get out. But I ask for your protection upon them, Lord, and I ask you to use this to bring salvation to many of your elect, no matter what skin color, creed, religion, whatever it is that they are, Lord. Even use it to bring salvation to the Muslims that are doing this, Lord. And I just ask you for your mercy, Lord, upon your people, and I ask you for your Psalm 91 protection upon them. And like I said, pour out your spirit of conviction. Any Christians, Lord, that help them to show the love of Christ even to their persecutors and their captors, and that they would see you, Lord, and repent and believe in you, Lord. Just like some of the just like some similar situations with the brothers over in the Middle East, how ones have come to the Lord through showing love to their persecutors, Father. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, for all that you're doing, Lord, there's many things going on. There's all these earthquakes going, that in Morocco, that flood in Libya, the two earthquakes in Afghanistan, and I don't know where else. And it seems like you're hitting the Muslim countries, Lord. And I know all things are from you. You can receive nothing except that come from you. And I just ask, Lord, and I believe, Lord, that you are using all these natural disasters, judgments, your judgments or whatever, to bring salvation, to bring revival, bring repentance, Lord, that they would know you, their heavenly Father, through the sacrifice of Jesus, your Son, and that they would repent and believe and know, Lord, your love and your grace and your mercy. And I praise you and I thank you for all that you're doing. And we just ask you to pour out your spirit of repentance and pour out your spirit of revival to your people, Lord, that are backslidden, and a great end time harvest, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that if this is a, and I believe it is, this is a deep state attempt to start a war, that you would expose it immediately in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. These people are evil to the core. They don't mind killing folks. They don't mind killing wholesale folks. They just don't mind it, as long as they get their agenda. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Expose them all, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Who is iPhone? Somebody just clocked on here that says iPhone. Who is that?
That's probably iPhone. Me, Michael. That's probably me, Larry.
Okay. Who is me?
He said Larry. It's Larry Bowers.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to have you with it, Larry. I'm messing with you. All right. Anybody else? Ooh, is anybody feeling factious? Raise your hand. I just thought I'd try it. I did it the other night at the meeting. Anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now then. Yeah, I know. Just block them out. The email attacks are continuing on. They don't know when to stop. They still trying to justify themselves. So if you get one, just block it out. Send it to the pit. Yeah, I know quite a number of people in the outreach got some. Joe got one too. So just throw it to the trash. They don't have any. Yeah, I just don't. Yeah, Pat.
As I was listening to Katie's testimony, that's amazing what the Lord has done there. And I'm thinking about even our situation in the world right now, and that scripture that I think it's in Psalms. The wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. And it just, I sat there as I listened to Katie's testimony, and it was absolute, total opposition and storm and battle and the devil coming in and every level and, trying to, convince her to run and get out and from every angle things were coming. And plus just facing the hopeless situation. But just as she, overcame in that personal level, I think while the Lord is doing that on a national level, and preparing hearts, even in the tragedy of this, war over there, whether it is contrived or not, in one sense is a bit irrelevant because God is using, He's going to use the whole thing one way or the other. He obviously doesn't allow anything to get by him. But, on my own personal level, I know that it's through these times being faced with fear, that really, as we address that fear and turn it back to the Lord, and it just reminds me of Psalm 23:4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. And it just how many times does God turn fearful, unknowing situations that look like they're going to destroy you, and He just and the moment you take that fear and you turn it back and give it to Him. I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but you turn it back and you give it to Him and you trust Him with it and you praise Him. He just turns that around. He destroys that fear, and your heart just turns into love and praise and expectation with what the Lord is doing. And so as tragic and as terrifying as these times are, I know that the Lord is using it, and you know, Psalm just keeps coming back to me. The wrath of man, the uncontrollable, angry, vicious wrath of man will praise God, and the remainder of it will, he will restrain it. He will never let it overcome you, never let it overcome us. And it just, you know, hearing these stories are just amazing. And I mean, they just, it just brings love and gratefulness and thankfulness to the Lord for his ability to turn any situation into his victory. And that we get to enjoy that with him. It's just amazing. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. I know what you're talking about, Pat. It does choke you up when you hear such wonderful news because of the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ that does it. That's what captures people. It's not, it's not that. I don't do it. I didn't do anything but just run them away. But it's that love we show them, regardless of what they've done, that brings them to Christ. And Tim's a prime example of the love that Katie showed him. You know, that's great. That'll help a lot of folks. Help me. I'm going to keep my mouth shut when all that stuff comes around. You know what I'm saying? Get them telephone calls. yeah, that's great. Thank you, Katie. That's going to help a lot of folks.
Well, that's what I've been praying, because the whole time that it was going on, I'm like, Lord, I don't care what happens. I just pray, number one, first and foremost, is use this for your glory. Like, use this for your glory in any way possible, Lord. And I prayed that every day. And I was praying at first on like a small scale of like his family, because all of his family needs salvation. And I was like, well, what greater way for them to see the power of the Lord than to like firsthand see it? Because they all pretty much have just accepted that that's who he is and that's how he always is going to be, and essentially, you know, hopelessness. And so I was praying the whole time. I'm like, Lord, like, let them see this and be shocked by it, you know, and just be like, you know, there's something different now. And especially with like I had told you, and they all were like, you're crazy for staying. And I thought I was at a certain point too, because it was going on for a long time and it was just getting worse at a certain point. And I had gone back into prayer a few times, like, Lord, are you sure? Like, is there anything else you want me to do? And every time he's like, love your husband and serve him. And the only time he elaborated anymore was he told me to stay. And then he had told me compassion, tenderheartedness, loving kindness, mercy, gentleness, and like all these things. And he had actually spoken that to me when I was
super
angry.
Did he ever say the good one? Katie, did he ever give you the long suffering one?
Yes. No. Yes. And awesome. It was in the middle of me being angry. Like at that time when he spoke those things, I wasn't even praying. I was just sitting there like all frustrated and like, and then the Lord instantly came and corrected me, but he did it with love. And he just had reminded me, love him and those characteristics, because that's what Jesus has done for us. And that really made me think about the love of Christ that he's shown me and everyone else. Cause it's like the Lord tarried with me for so many years where I was just running and running and running and doing all these things that grieved the Lord more than we can ever even imagine. You know, I think we all hurt the Lord before we were saved, more than we could ever hurt someone else, or that someone else could hurt us. So I was really reflecting on all of that throughout, and just, wow, like the Lord's love for me is so amazing, and the Lord's love for all of us. And that's what I wanted to show him, not worldly love. So, and the Lord had to deal with bitterness, because bitterness was growing in me. And I'm like, oh no, because I know what that can bring. But the Lord took all of it away. I had to battle a lot in prayer, but that's something the Lord told me to do, obviously, was just get into the prayer closet as much as I could and go to war for my husband. And he told me specifically that obviously my war isn't against my husband. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities in the spiritual realm. So the Lord was like, your warfare's been directed wrong. Like, it's not against him. You need to go to war in the spirit against what is against your husband and against your marriage. And when I started doing that, that's also when things started to change. Instead of taking it out on him, I would go and I would pray. And the Lord started moving so, so much. Like, I didn't have to tell Tim anything, like, at all. Like, the Lord was doing it. The Lord was speaking to him. The Lord was convicting him. The Lord was speaking to him that whole time. And that was miraculous to me, too. I'm like, what? Like, how can someone be messed up and, like, on drugs, but the Lord's still speaking to them? Like, he would be like, yeah, the Lord said this. I'm like, huh? But the Lord was breaking through, and he was doing so much. And I'm like, wow, you know? So the whole thing was just miraculous, but I couldn't see it at the time. At the time, at first, all I could see was gray and just sadness. And I'm like, Lord, this is never going to end. What's happening? I ruined my life. Like, I made a mistake. But I knew that was the enemy, because the Lord had given us so many confirmations on our marriage and everything. So I was thankful for that, because I could hold on to that through that, because at first the enemy was like, see, you made a mistake. You ruined your life. Look at this. And I was like, oh no. And at first that got to me, until the Lord, he sent a random person that I barely know. I had talked to them online once, and they joined a live stream that I was doing, where I was just talking about the Lord and just in prayer. And this one guy went on there, and this was when the Lord was confirming me to marry Tim. And this person was sent and, like, gave me all these confirmations and, like, detailed different things. And they were a random stranger, and I was just blown away. And then the Lord had sent a girl who was on that live stream, like, reading that, to remind me of that. She randomly messaged me throughout all of this when it was going on. I was like, remember that one live stream that you were doing? And this guy was, like, saying all these confirmations about, like, your future husband and all that. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Like, I needed that, because that killed what the enemy was saying about, oh, you made a mistake. Because the Lord has shown me so much of Tim and I, and I was glad that I got to hold on to that throughout this. But at the time, I was like, Lord, I didn't see any of this in the plan here. But praise God, he worked it all together for so much good. And I know this is still just the beginning, because the Lord is working on both of us so much right now. And I'm excited for his family to see more of him. Like, his dad visited for the first time on Sunday last week, and all Tim talked about was Jesus, and was telling his dad, he's like a believer, but, you know, worldly. He was telling his dad the whole visit, you need to stop being lukewarm, and you need to get your other foot into the kingdom. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And I think his dad was just like, what's happened to you? You know, but he was actually receptive, but I think in shock, because, you know, the last time he had really talked with Tim, he was struggling so bad, and struggling alongside his dad and partaking in all the things. His dad is trapped in the same kind of stuff too. But yeah, Tim was just telling him, without holding back, you know, you need to go all in for Jesus. And he was quoting all these scriptures, and it was just amazing. Like, I'm just sitting there looking at him in awe, just like shocked by what the Lord has done and how quickly the Lord is doing it. So praise God. There's going to be a million more testimonies I'm going to have, I'm sure. Because the Lord is working.
I believe it. I believe it. God's using him and you. That's great. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. God. Ooh. I could listen to you all night, girl. That made, it just blessed my whole day. And it wasn't a good day either, but I am so blessed now. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. He's so faithful.
He is faithful. He's merciful and gracious too. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Anybody want to comment? Thank you so much, Katie. That just made my day. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, I don't know what we ought to do now. That was pretty good. That was real good. As a matter of fact, you know, that's that love of Christ that the bride has to have in order to be the bride. Just, she's the bride of Tim. We're the bride of Christ. She is too now, the bride of Christ. And she could tell people, no, you've got to do this. You got to do this. This is what Jesus said. The fruit of Jesus is what we want. It's all those other ones. Go ahead, Pat.
Michael, I was thinking about, I was really kind of enlightened by the bride, man-child scenario that we were talking about last, Tuesday. And the thought hit me today because I kind of put two and two together after I re-listened to that again. But, not that I want to change the subject as to, what's happening here right now, because I'm not. I think it clues in. But I had the thought, can women be part of the man-child?
No.
And, all right, let me.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me explain what I was thinking.
Okay.
And
I'm showing love, Pat. I'm showing love, brother.
Praise the Lord. Because I need it.
Thank you, brother.
It was, as I got to thinking about it and kind of clarifying what David was teaching there, because he did mention basically that the man child is part of the bride. The bride, of course, the corporate body, man child, a corporate body, is the bride is comprised of men and women, and as we were talking about it, it became clear to me that the man-child is a representation of those that have gone through the maturing process to transferred, what am I trying to say? That which is in the spirit through into their soul, the completeness of their soul, and I might be getting belaboring this thing, but let's just say, that the man-child is a representation of those that are mature in the faith, shall we say, or full of Jesus, perfected in Christ, manifested perfection in Christ, or completeness in Christ. Can women be perfected and completed in Christ? Yes. David was talking about the body being each one having a role and a responsibility. And I guess what I'm was thinking is that the woman, the wife, the daughter, has a role and a responsibility. God has given her a female body. She has certain obligations, requirements, and a certain role and responsibility from God. Can she be perfected into that fullness of maturity? Absolutely. Just like there is no difference in the spirit, man or woman. There's no difference. We all grow into the same ability to mature into the fullness of Christ. So the thought that I had today as I was mulling it over, and obviously this is just a thought. I'm not saying that, you know, that this is even true. I'm just spitballing here. But the man child or the leadership of the church, has to have examples of women that know how to function in the proper role of Christ within us as a body. They not only have to know how, but they have to be free and mature and by in faith and confidence that submission that we all have to learn how to function. Grace only comes through submission, and we're only saved by grace. So grace is absolute. I mean, submission is absolutely essential for everybody to know, everybody to understand, men and women. There is no difference. We're all saved by the same grace coming through the same submission and humility to God. Yet God has put certain things together in the responsibilities of men in leadership and the supporting role of submission for the woman in roles of leadership. And they both have to be understood, and they both have to be free to function in that because so I guess what I was thinking is that even in the man child, even though we like to separate that and say, you know, that the man has the leadership role, and rightfully so, the leadership role in the body of Christ, there is, that doesn't mean that the woman is not part of the leadership. Am I making sense with what I'm saying here, or what?
Are you trying to get the lady or the wife or whatever, the women, into the man-child ministry, or are you just trying to get them in perfection? There's a difference.
Maybe I'm not clear as to the man-child ministry being separate from perfection.
I didn't understand that.
I was thinking that the man child is a place of matured perfection in Christ, but that it can be men or women that enter into that perfection. However, in that leadership place, there is a need for women to perform the perfected role that a woman is supposed to perform. Does that make sense?
I don't know. let me clarify.
Well, then that's what I was thinking today. And again, I'm not stating it as the gospel. I'm kind of spitballing here.
Well, don't do that. I dodged that one. Okay. the man child ministry is men only, as everybody knows. It's men only because of what the word of God says that women can and can't do in the ministry. And, the women, if you're talking about separate from being a wife, is that what you're talking about? Or as a wife of a man child? Because a wife of a man child minister can go with him and do healings, whatever, you know, the supernatural stuff. In her realm, her main job is going to be intercession. Her main job is going to be praying for her husband. Her main job is going to be praying for the men of the family. That's going to be her main job, and doing, you know, the household stuff. But not to say that, you know, they're tied to the kitchen or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. There's going to be women that goes, they're going to be translated with their husbands to different areas to help him do whatever it is that God wants him to do. That's going to happen. That will happen. Everybody in the kingdom has a niche, has a place. The women have a place and the men have a place. But they can work together. They can coordinate their actions together. Now, the young women with babies and children and that kind of stuff, that's going to be their job. And their job is intercession and taking care of the kids. If you remember the dreams, Missy and Julie and some of y'all, Sandy had about the women at the refuge, that's what they were doing. They were taking turns. They would wash clothes, then they do this, and then, but all the time that they were doing these things, they were together, and they were praying. They have women praying over here, another one be over here doing something, another did something else. There's going to, the older women in Christ are going to be teaching the younger women in Christ. I'm talking about. There's going to be young women that are going to be more mature in Christ than older women that just came into the kingdom. And they're going to have to teach them what it is, just like Katie was doing, to go teach them love. Love, L-U-V, love. Going to have to teach them love. And all of those things that you see in the Word of God. But the men's general purpose is going to be to get the gospel out and to heal the sick, raise the dead, bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's going to be the men's job. And to do that, the bride has all, here's what makes the bride, Pat. The bride has already gone through testing, trials, and tribulations in this before the main tribulation comes. They've already tried and true and are staying with the Lord. They're not factioning out. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. They are doing what the Lord wants them to do. That's what makes up the bride. And they're having faith to believe that they're going to be in the bride. Same way with the man-child ministry. The man-child ministry is all by faith. If you believe that you're going to be in the man-child ministry and you're doing the things that it takes to bear the fruit of Jesus in your life, guess what? You're going to be in the man-child ministry. And just like David talked about in this last broadcast that he did Sunday, there's going to be two man-childs. Let me say it this way. Two different waves.
Yeah.
Two different fruit. Waves. Yeah, there'll be the first fruit man-child and the second fruit, thank you, Pat, man-child. And the second fruit man-child comes into play after 3.5 years. he will be listening to the first fruit man child throughout the second half of the tribulation, the worst part of it, as a matter of fact. Yeah, Pat.
So, and I guess what I was keying off of is that obviously we are in a world right now that teaches, is in such opposition to authority, such opposition to men in leadership, and women in our society have been brainwashed, I shouldn't say that, have been taught that, that they need to take rule. They need to take authority. They want to save them.
Very independent.
They want to save themselves. They got to take authority and take this bull by the horns type of thing. But that, and so there's such a wave of, you know, the Jezebel spirit women's lib started back in our generation, you know, in the 70s and 80s and whatever. All of that that whole spirit has been received and grown up and matured in the society, not only in the United States, but in the world, to the point where it's going to take a major move of God to shake people out of that spirit. And I think I'm going back to what we're in right now. God raising up opposition and wars and fear and everything to just bring people to their knees and look up. It's going to take massive pressure, opposition pressure like that, to bring people to their senses so they'll look to God and try to find out what's going on. And it's going to take, at that time, mature women that understand grace, understand humility and submission, and the way to allow God into your life through that submission. There's going to need to be women that are prepared and understand and prepared to be able to teach these people that. You know, these women that, because nobody teaches it. Nobody knows it. It doesn't come with the package, the Adam package. And it's going to take a massive, training process when this thing comes in. When revival hits, you're going to have people that are open to the gospel and want God, and somebody's going to have to be able to lead them in the path of that. And that only path is submission and receiving God's grace and opening up that channel of God's life within them, you know. And again, so I think I'm speaking more in terms of that in reference to my comments related to the man child. There's going to have to be women that are, you know, prepared in that way. So I'll quit talking.
Well, you're exactly right. One thing that I found out in this ministry here, the Jezebel spirit doesn't like. They find out real quick they don't like it here. They get when it pops up, they get called on it, and they don't like it, and off they go. I can't tell you how many of them we've had come and leave. Those that get rid of it are the ones that are going to be just like you said. They're going to be helping these other ones come in. And they're not independent. They believe in God. They love God. They want to do what God wants them to do. They've just been captured by that spirit all their life. And then when they come into the real love of Christ, they want to get rid of it. But a lot of them don't. Most of them don't. Yeah, that's a good, yeah, Tidy, go ahead.
So you talking about that, Pat, is just funny because it's another thing that I've been thinking on a lot, especially after going through what I just shared, you know, and that's something that since I have been in the Lord that I've always felt very strongly about is like the role as a woman is completely different than a man's role. And that's a beautiful thing. Like I feel like so many women now feel like that's a horrible thing and, you know, it's oppressive or it's abusive or whatever, you know, and it's not just in the world, like it's crept into so many churches and it's been disheartening for me because it's like almost every church that I've found over the years, they believe that women are exactly the same as men, essentially, without saying that, you know, because it shows in like how they operate in the church, you know, if women didn't have a different tone of voice, I wouldn't be able to tell who's talking, you know, so to speak. Like I should be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman, not just by Absolutely. The tone of their voice. Like there should be a distinction. And I feel like there's a severe lack of that in the church. And in Titus chapter 2, it talks about what the older women are supposed to do. And it doesn't say they're supposed to become pastors and preachers or whatever women are trying to do now. It says that they should teach the younger women how to love their husbands, love their children, how to be keepers at home and all of that. And I don't see that. Like I see women's Bible studies, which, okay, that's fine. And that's great. You know, we need to know the word of God, but like, where is the Titus 2 ministry of the older women teaching the younger women? And I'm like, Lord, that would be so beneficial. Like, you know, going through what I had just went through, like obviously the Lord got me through it and he taught me through it, but it would have been so awesome to have like older women that are like, love your husband, stay with your husband. But no, like I didn't have that. And I don't see that much at all. Like I see all these churches that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, they believe in all these great things and they operate in a lot of truth and a lot of power, but then they have a woman preaching or doing the exact same things as men, and they would never dare speak on certain verses, you know, because, oh no, those are oppressive, those verses, you don't say that. And I've seen that just in my own walk, where like I'll quote certain verses or talk about submission, and you see all these Jezebel spirits manifest in like 2 seconds. It's crazy, but it's so rampant, and like not just in the world, it's in the churches, and it's just been something I've been praying on. I'm like, Lord, like send these women, like create a submissive heart in these women and show them that their role is not a curse. It's a blessing. It is such a blessing. Like give them a deeper understanding, because that's really where it comes from, is like a lack of understanding about your role, because it's not an oppressive thing. It's a beautiful thing if we understand it and if we search it out in the scriptures and ask the Lord to show us, you know. And so, yeah, I've just been praying on that, because I have not seen any ministries besides like yours preach about this. And most of them don't even believe it. And, or if they do, they don't show it in any way, because it's a very touchy subject that they don't want to go there with, you know, or they'll say, oh, those verses are misinterpreted, they don't mean that, or they clearly do mean exactly what they're saying. But yeah, that's something that's been on my heart lately, is just, Lord, I pray that he just starts working in women more and really destroying that Jezebel spirit. And also that he can send women to me as well, that I could tell them, you know, love your husband. And now I have a testimony of when they say, but he's doing this, but he's doing that. No, like it doesn't matter. There's no buts. It's love your husband, period. No comments after. And that's something I wanted to add too, is that everyone was telling me like, oh, you have a right to be mad. You have a right to say this and do this. And no, the Lord said, I don't have any right to do that. You have no right to complain and just rejoice. And there is power when you start doing that and stop complaining.
Amen, Katie. You know, the Lord said this. He said in the latter days that he's going to grow people up quickly. Katie, you're a prime example of that. Don't get the big head, because we'll bring you down, girl, but I'm just saying. You're a blessing tonight. It's been a real blessing listening to you, because you're speaking the word. You're speaking the word, and that's awesome. That's awesome. Andrew, you had your hand up a while ago. Did you want to say something? You knew I was going to call on you.
You know, us men are kind of messed up ourselves, you know.
You speak for yourself.
We're not messed up. We've been in a position where we were messed up. And
Yeah.
you know, I always look at it like you grow up, you get an increase in rank whether you're a woman or a man because you become a wife from a woman to a wife to a mother. And for the guy, you know, it's a man to a husband to a father. So there's another whole factor there you have to consider in your life once you have little children. And it's just sometimes, you know, you learn so much better when you can see the example instead of reading about it, you know. And you really have to get into who was that boy in the Book of Acts, that youth that fell out of the third floor rafters, you know. Who was he? Why was he sleeping, you know? Well, it was a long, like almost all night, you know, Paul was talking, you know, and so he got tired, you know, because he was a young man, you know, whatever they, young guys back then who were teenagers did, you know, in the sun all day or whatever, and he fell out there. And so, you know, he still has to go to that position for the next rank, I would say, of husband and father. So, and it's quite a bit of responsibility sometimes that the man of the family might panic or something, you know. And that's sometimes if he's got a really nice woman and who's a wife and mother to back him up on those occasions, then that's a real big benefit. So that's all I'm just saying is, what has happened since, I don't know, since World War I when women started to take men's jobs, and you know, then something else happened after that. You know, a lot of them went back to being housewives and stuff and mothers, and but there's a quite a bit of history behind this. It's not something that just recently came up, but I think in the, like Pat said, in the 70s, that's when it really exploded, you know. And so I just wanted to put that 2 cents in there because I was just trying to think of when we did our study on the book there. What was it?
Word, Women, and Authority.
Word, Women, and Authority. Yeah, that was a nice study. And it's not just about women. Men are mentioned in there quite a bit. So praise God. Glory to God.
Yeah, if think about this, how many divorces could have been eliminated if they had done what the Word of God had said, if the women had loved them regardless of what they're doing, and the men had loved them like Jesus loved the church, if he had that, we had done that, there wouldn't be any divorce. None. Zilch. Nada. But now, people like Katie, she can, and Tim, can go out and give their testimony and watch some families change because of it. Bringing people to Christ. That's what I want. I want that, you know. They'll do that. I want that. Are you ready to do that, honey? I don't know about that, honey. I just don't know about that now. Yeah. No, they'll be wanting it because she'll be doing just exactly what she's doing right now. She's got a big grin on her face and telling them about the love of God. And the love that's in her heart for her husband, and how that God put it there, took away the frustration, took away the anxiety, took away the aggravation, took away all of that stuff, and just put peace in her heart, and watched her husband get changed by God, not man, by God, without methadone. And I praise you, Father, for that. That's going to be an awesome testimony. Lots of people are going to get blessed by it. I'm going to send it to all of my daughters when you get it wrote up. Because, you know, as men, you want your daughters to do well. You know, back when I was a heathen, I brought them up to be dependable, dependent upon themselves and not anybody else. That was the norm, you know. And come to find out, it was the worst thing in the world I could have done. But God. Yeah, Pat.
You know, I was thinking, in this whole thing related to submission and isn't it interesting that, if you look at all of the examples, you look at, not all examples, I'm sure, but you look at Joseph, God bringing Joseph, through the pit, through the massive opposition in his life, and because he had a purpose for him. But what did he do when he got ready to use Joseph in the way that he was going to use him? He put him second in command. He didn't put him as the leader. He didn't raise him up to be the leader in Egypt, but he put him underneath the leader, second in command. If you look at Daniel, God took Daniel through the lion's den, through captivity and everything, and brought him to a place where he was using him in a mighty way, but he put him second in command, put him under Nebuchadnezzar. And you can go through and you can look at the various different examples in the scripture, and it's because, well, I'm not going to say what it's because of, but God, the level of authority that you find yourself in is not as important, or is, shall we say, is not important as much as your submission under that, the authority that you're under, wherever you're at in the chain of command. But if you look at the examples of, say, Joseph and Daniel, where was the most influential and powerful point of activity happening? It was happening under the one in authority. The one in authority, Nebuchadnezzar, had the ultimate power to say no or yes, but Daniel had the position of more influence and power because he was utilizing the power of the king. So, I mean, there's a lot of lessons there that, you know, man's ways of thinking about things are completely opposite of God's ways. I mean, David teaches it in the power through weakness. Absolutely a hard lesson to learn. Not that I can say I've learned it, but that's an example of it. It's our ways are totally contrary to what God's ways are, and this concept or view of authority is, I believe, is exactly that same way. We tend to think of it upside down, but God, thinks of it in a different way. But anyway, very good blessing. This meeting is definitely a blessing. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Did we lose Michael?
Just for a minute. I had to run and get some more. I got some homemade grape juice from Anna. Yeah, never had any before. She's had it since 2021. So it might be a little bit, I might get as hep say, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Oh my. Somebody texted me.
What's it already kicking in?
Any other Pat. All right, quit now. Quit. Go ahead, Katie.
So, Michael, you had mentioned how that divorces could be eliminated if women would just love their husband, you know, and how if the husband would love their wives too. And the Lord definitely showed me that through this as well, because when I was just telling him, oh, you know what you're doing makes me feel like this, and this is what you're doing to me, and don't you realize like what you're doing, and blah, 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 you know, and saying all those things and arguing with him all the time, and just him coming home, and then instantly I would just come at him with accusations and yelling and whatever because of how I was feeling. And that caused him to want to leave. And then he would bring up, he'd be like, we're getting a divorce. Like, this is over, you know, this isn't working, because it was just chaos. Like, you know, we didn't have, I mean, there was like moments here and there where we were okay, but it was most of the time just quarreling because, you know, I was just yelling at him. Or even when I wasn't yelling, even if I was just like telling him how I felt, you know, he didn't want to hear that. And because he already knew, like most time people already know, unless they're completely ignorant, they usually know what they're doing. But they're in bondage, they're in chains, you know, and that's where the love and grace comes in. But when I stopped doing that, and when I started loving him, it was funny. He went from not wanting to be around me and saying, you know, this is over, to begging me to stay and saying how much he loves me. And that was just so miraculous, because this literally just the power of love, the love of Christ. Like, we have all these things in the world, like marriage counseling and all these things that the world goes to, and avenues that they try, and you see most of it ends in failure, and like the divorce rate is so high, and all that stuff really doesn't do anything, because the answer is love and throwing self aside. Like, everything in that booklet that you sent out, Michael, like totally all of that is the key to a healthy marriage and restoring the family. It's literally just the love of Christ. And when we do that, so much changes, because it was literally so quick that like our relationship dynamic changed, even though the storm was still there, even though the chaos was still there. And I was kind of glad that it worked out that way, because it showed me that there's power and love even in the middle of the storm. Like, there's peace because of that love. And it was just, it's just amazing. Like, that's literally the answer for pretty much everything, is the love of Christ and obedience to Christ, because his ways truly are higher. Like, it makes no sense to the carnal man in any way. Like I said, everyone was like, you're crazy, but praise God, because now they can see that really the world is crazy and God's ways are higher.
Amen to that, sister. It is. God's ways are a whole lot higher, and they work.
Amen.
They work. Praise God. I wish all women had heard this testimony, and men. I'll have to add men too, because it helps. It helps us too. Yeah, it takes two to tango, as they used to say. But yes, the love is the key to do it like God did it. To love him regardless of the situation. Can he change anything, Katie?
Yes.
He can change the worst situation into a blessing.
Amen. And I think the biggest hindrance is really itself. Like, everything that was talked about in that booklet that you sent out, like selfishness, it said, is the blighting curse on humanity. And I was like, wow, like that. Yeah, because the Lord was dealing with me so much in the area of self, and he revealed so much flesh, and I was like, oh, like I was shocked. I was looking at myself, I'm like, Lord, I didn't realize like how vile my flesh was. I didn't realize all these things were still there. So I was praising him for revealing it, but it was also really hard at the time facing all of it. But really, the lack of love comes from like entitlement, like self-entitlement, like, oh, how could someone treat me like this or whatever? And that's what the world teaches. They teach you, like, if someone isn't treating you the way that you want to be treated, then you deserve better and leave. And that's why we see relationships and marriages falling apart left and right, because we're all taught that it's a good thing to be selfish and to look out for yourself, and like on the outside looking out for yourself, like that sounds, yeah, that sounds good, but no, like we're supposed to be dead to self, and there's power in that when we serve others instead of serving self and thinking about what we need or what we want. And the Lord was rebuking me left and right, like I'm like, Lord, this is so hard. At certain times he would be like, this isn't about you, like stop focusing on you and start focusing on your husband. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And it was hard to hear at certain times. So I'm like, Lord, this is so hard. What do you mean? He's like, stop focusing on you. That's why it's so hard. It's because you're focusing on you and not focusing on servitude. And man, he taught me so much about servitude through that. And that's what servitude is all about. You don't serve when it's convenient. Otherwise, it's not really servitude at all, you know? But there's got to be that love aspect there too. We shouldn't just be doing it out of obligation either, because that's not really servitude either. But yeah, so love and servitude is so powerful. And denying self, we have to do that. Like it's so necessary every day to say no to self, because self is really trying to rise up through that. But the Lord used it for so much good, because he killed off a ton of my flesh through that, and praise God, it felt like fire going through it, but now there's fruit. So praise God. Yes,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to make tonight's broadcast mandatory for the local fellowship to listen to. But I want you to type it out. But it's a whole lot better just to listen to the emotions and the things that, you know, that you put forth across, and listen to it. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, God, it's so, so good. Because I thought it was going to kill me. I'm like, Lord, this is too much. This is way too much. It was so hard. You know, we just had a baby and everything. I'm like, Lord, this timing doesn't make sense. Because with our baby, too, he had spoken right before I conceived, like, now is the time. And so I was questioning that whole time. I'm like, what was that? Like, what do you mean now is the time? Everything fell apart, like, after she was born, or, like, right before. But now I can see all the fruit of that too, because she has been such a blessing for both of us throughout all of this. And it was something also that held us together closer than, you know, if we didn't have her. So I can see the Lord's hand all over it now. But at the time, I'm like, Lord, this is way too hard. What are you doing to me? But there's so much fruit in it now. And I can't even say, and the world won't get this at all, but I can't even say that I wish it didn't happen, because that's what people will say, like, oh, I'm so sorry you went through that. No, like, I'm glad that it happened, because it did so much in both me and my husband. Like, God worked through it so, so strongly, and he was there the whole time. Like, I couldn't see that in the moment, but looking back, like, I was talking with Tim, and he's telling me different revelations he's had and things that the Lord's speaking to him. I'm like, you were saying that, like, 2 months ago, 3 months ago in that. He's like, yeah, I know. The Lord was talking to me through that. And I'm like, but the Lord was breaking through everything and doing so much throughout that entire time. I just couldn't see it because I was blinded by emotions and feelings, and just the enemy was being really annoying. But God broke through every single thing, and I can't get over it every day. I'm blown away. Like, wow. Amen. God is bigger than anything. I'm blown away too.
I think everybody listening is blown away. There's a lot of people out there listening that's not here. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. What were we talking about? Man child. Something almost as important. The man child ministry. Missy came up with a good question for me today, and let's just throw it out there, Missy, and see what people say about it. What does the man-child and the latter rain, when does the latter rain happen? Does it happen when the man-child gets anointed, or what? When does it happen? I'll tell you. I know it's because I had to go to David myself after a fashion, because I knew what it was going to be, but I couldn't figure out, because Missy brought up some good points. So the man child, if you remember, John the Baptist said that Jesus is going to anoint after his anointing. When he was baptized, he would be the anointing. And, but the thing that Missy brought up, Missy, you want to bring out about, okay, well, I'll do it if you don't want to. Okay, well, she brought out that Jesus did really, the Holy Spirit didn't come until the Lord Jesus went up to the throne the third time, the third throne experience. And that's when the Holy Spirit came down in at Pentecost. And she wanted to know if that was when it was going to be. But the third throne experience for the first fruit man child is not going to be for 3.5 years. And I told her at the time, I said, well, it doesn't make sense that it would wait till 3.5 years to do it, because you're going to need it at the beginning of tribulation. You're going to need the anointing to make it through and to get that faith through the first 3.5 years, let alone the last 3.5 years. And so I went to David and I said, what about this? When is it going to be? He said, I don't know. No, he said this. He said this. He said, I'm not, he said, I can't give it out. I can't give the scriptures, but he said, if it goes like Jesus, like John the Baptist said that Jesus was going to do, the man child is going to, start the latter day reign, the latter day anointing, as in Hosea 6:3, I believe, wasn't it, Missy? Yeah, 6:3. And, that the latter rain would go when he, as soon as he got anointed and at the throne experience, and very soon right after that, the latter rain anointing would occur. He would declare it, and it would fall upon the bride. That's who it would fall on, is the bride. Because the bride is the catalyst to disciple the people coming out of the apostate churches and all of the things that the plagues and the earthquakes and all of that stuff, brings about into the bride. They're going to come in because of the signs and wonders that this latter rain anointing generates. And because of that, they're going to see that they can walk in divine health. They can walk in, peace in their heart. They can walk in love, you know, and all of those things. Yeah, Julie. Because and the reason why is because they're going to see it on the bride. They're going to see it on the bride. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just thinking about how Jesus' ministry started, and he was anointed, I believe, wasn't he anointed when the Holy Spirit came upon him when his baptism?
Yep.
And then he went out into the desert and was tried for 40 days.
Yep.
And
before the tribulation.
Before the tribulation. But then I don't know how much time started after that when he was picking his disciples and they went to a wedding, and that was the first miracle the Lord did. And that was turning the water into wine. And he started doing his ministry then, as far as, you know, other miracles, healings and deliverances and the preaching and, you know, and going in and, you know, into the synagogues, into the temples, and started preaching, you know, and he, you know, today this, you know, the scripture has been fulfilled in your presence when he quoted Isaiah 61. So I don't know exactly the order of that before he chose the disciples, started choosing his disciples or whatever, but we know he's coming in the white horse rider in Revelation 6, and that's the tribulation. That's the beginning of tribulation, but we don't know.
That's judgment, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know how much time is between like the anointing and when that happens, the judgments, right?
Well, it's going to be very short because the man-child leads the bride into tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, yeah. Did you have something, Missy? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just wondering, because you were talking about John the Baptist and what he said about Jesus. Is that when he said, "I indeed baptize you in water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the
Holy Spirit
and in fire." Is that okay?
Yes.
That's in Matthew and Luke both.
Yeah.
Says that.
That's the word. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, but what Julie said, when Jesus, why was Jesus, the first miracle that Jesus did was at that wedding. I think I was thinking, why was it that first miracle? I think it's, that shows Jesus' ministry, because it changed normal people into believers, normal people into do the things that he do, but do we think he's going to do? Just interesting, it's from the first miracle is changing people's life. That's why I'm brought to, why you have to reborn. So I just want to add that.
Okay, there wasn't a question, I don't think, was it?
Kinda. why was his first miracle at a wedding, is what Joe asked. And
I think
part of it is because there was a new covenant made. The wedding is a covenant, and it's all symbolic in there.
Could be.
That's
I'm not real sure.
That's how I remember that parable being taught. David, and I don't know where exactly it is, but it had to do
with
that covenant
of a
marriage.
Yeah, I remember teaching on it, but I can't remember when. It's been a long time since I've heard what. Everything represented something in that parable, if I remember correctly, and I'm not real sure, Joe, exactly what it was. One of them was that can you imagine that the waiter's mind, what was going on in their mind when they brought that water? Now, what's this guy going to do with this water, for goodness sake? We need to go get some wine. Somebody run down to the liquor store and get us some wine, for goodness sake. But he turned it into wine. I can't imagine what went through those waiters' minds, because they knew it was water. And then they got take it up there to the host. And he said, "It's the best wine." And both people take their best wine and serve it first, and you serve it last. God don't make no bad wine, does he? No, he don't make no Tiger 186, 50 cents a gallon. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. But that'd be a good thing to look at, Joe, wouldn't it? Find out all of those. No, it was good. It was good. If you remember, all of the signs that Jesus did, he stepped up. Every time he did a miracle, he stepped up. He did another better miracle. He did a better miracle, or a greater miracle, and a greater better miracle, until he raised up Lazarus. Anyway, anything else on the man child and the anointing, the latter day rain? Listen, I can tell you this much. First thing we got to do is do the former rain. You know, you start believing the former rain that you have access. That, what do you think he gave us the Holy Spirit and all the gifts for? To sit back and let, you know, let, oh, yeah, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, all right. Well, are you exercising any of the gifts? Well, Lord hadn't asked me to do that yet. It ain't whether the Lord asks you or not. Is it available when you need it? Are you out there doing the word? Are you out there bringing the kingdom of heaven to the earth? That's what our job is. When you do that, when you start doing that, I tell you what, yeah, practicing it, that's practicing makes perfect. When you start doing that, healing, delivering, you see somebody in need, you go up to them, you know, the Lord told me to come over here and pray for you. Can I pray for you? The Lord told you that? Yes, he did. He told you that in the word, didn't he? And so you go over there and you pray for them for whatever their need is. What's your need? What's the biggest need that you have? Well, I got this back problem. Lord of God, I tell you what, it's just been bringing me down. So if I pray for you and God takes it away from you, you know you're healed, won't you? Yeah. You pray for them. And you look, it's not anything that you do. You just believe God's going to do it. That's all. It's trust. That's all it is. It's just an automatic thing. It's just a light switch. You turn that light switch on, you know that God's going to do it. And you bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And the gifts will be available to you. The gift of healing, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, prophecy, word of knowledge. All of those gifts will be available to you as you need them. And it's up to us to get out there and do it. You think we're just going to sit around and read the Bible all day? He wants us to do the Bible, isn't it? Isn't that what he said, James? Those who are doing the Bible are mine. Now, I know it makes people uncomfortable, but that's what the word says, and that's what the bride's going to be doing. They're going to be out there doing it. Be the church, not playing church. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I exhort everybody, not just this bunch, people that are listening to, I exhort you to get out there and start doing the word of God. Not just reading it and thinking, yeah, I don't know this. I know this. I got this down, brother. I got it down. Is anybody getting healed, delivered, set free? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the gospel. Once you get somebody healed or delivered from anything, don't you think they're going to listen to what you got to say? Absolutely they are. So how'd you do that? Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. And you give him the truth about born again. You tell them what born again is and how to keep their healing. And then you can tell them, if you don't do it, it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. But if you want to keep it, run after Jesus. And you have to tell them that. That's what Jesus did. Go and sin no more. How do you think the revival is going to start? It's going to start by signs and wonders. That's where it always starts. Signs and wonders. And the power of God. You got to have the power of God. How do you get the power of God? Abide in Christ. Abide in the Lord. Have a relationship with the Lord. Pray in tongues a lot. Pray in tongues a lot. That builds your faith. And reading, studying the word of God and abiding in the word, that builds your faith. I just believe this. But just believe it. I know there's a lot of teachings out there about healing and deliverances and all of that kind of stuff. Just do it like Jesus did it. He didn't go out there and ask anybody if they had any unbelief. He didn't go out there and ask them if they had this or that or the other. He never did. He should be healed. Just be healed. And that's when you can tell them about Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Andrew. Or Ben. Excuse me.
So you were saying that we got to pray in your tongues a lot before you go out and do your healings. So
no, I don't think it's just because you're going out there. I think you need to do it all the time. I think it should be every day. All day long. Go ahead. I'm sorry I didn't interrupt you, but no, I had to clarify that.
Pray all the time in tongues. Mostly just like I've yet to have the manifestation of the tongues that God has given me. So yeah. I'm just sort of like in my head, like maybe should I wait until I finally have that manifestation? It's kind of something that's been on my mind a lot. Yeah. I do want to do these things, but I also want to be led by the Spirit to go do them. So,
wait a minute. You said led by the Spirit to do what?
To go do healings and go tell people about
God. Is that what Jesus said? You need to wait and be led by the Spirit to go out there and cast off demons and be healed and heal people. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. I know we're supposed to, when you say led by the Spirit, people use that for, well, I hadn't been led by the Spirit, and I'm not jumping on you, but you gave me a good opening here to say some things, and I'm going to say them if you don't mind. When you say being led by the Spirit, is the Word of God the Spirit of God?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. If it's the Spirit of God, then you've already been commanded to do it. That's the Spirit of God. When it says it in the Bible, do it. Whatever it says, do it. Watch Jesus. How did Jesus do it? Can you listen? Here's something to think about. I know we've had all these hindrances, to people teaching us about hindrances to healing and all this stuff. What do you think about, what's the guy's name? T.L. Osborne going over to India and got 100,000 people out there in front of him, and he had to go through and ask each one of them if they had unforgiveness in the heart. If they had unforgiveness in the heart, you can't get healed. He'd be there for years and years and years just in that one group trying to figure out if he could get healed or not. No, he'd go out there and lay hands on them. They get healed. All of them get healed. And then they came to Jesus. That's the way Jesus did it. And to be led by the Spirit to do what Jesus said. Yeah, Julie. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see if Ben had any more. I'm sorry, Ben. I did have to clarify that. Just one bit. Listen, I'm going to declare and decree this for you. Can y'all believe with me? We're going to believe God for this too. All of us are going to believe God for it. You get in your closet tonight. Or whatever it is, it's your apartment, or you're right there at your dad's if you want to, and let him lay hands on you to receive your spirit language. He'll give it to you this night if you'll believe what I'm fixing to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that you don't want Benjamin to run around out there without his spirit language, and I thank you, Father, that you're going to give him the faith to believe that tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. Tonight is the night that he's going to get his language. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to give him a full language right off the get-go. It's not going to be none of this da, 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 da stuff. It's going to be a full language. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Lord, that you're doing it for Benjamin. He's been asking for it and seeking it. And I thank you, tonight's the night in Jesus' name. Y'all believe it? All right. I believe that's another one we're going to believe for you. Ben, you got it, brother. You got it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, my. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit's all over me. You're going to get it tonight. You are going to get it. Go ahead, Julie. Woo, my.
Lord. Amen. It's there. Praise God. Yeah. Something I did, Ben, is I prayed and asked the Lord. It's like, you know, Lord, give me opportunities to, you know, to get my feet wet, you know, and do that. Bring me an opportunity to pray for somebody. You know, and he did that for me. You know, it wasn't any big deal. And I never knew for sure when some of the first times I did it, if the person really got healed or not, because I never saw him again. It was strangers, you know. So
a lot of times that's what happened.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they don't know you from anybody. It's like, hey, can I just pray for you? Do you believe that Jesus will heal you for whatever it is, you know? You just want some kind of confirmation, you know, have their agreement and just pray for them and just say, you're healed. You know, God bless you. Amen. You know, he'll do that.
Amen.
He did it for me. I know he did it for Missy, and I know he's done it for other people, and just ask for those opportunities to minister. You can always too, what we did, some of us like Marilyn, myself, Barbara, Missy, we practice on each other, you know, pray for each other.
Pray for you, you know, pray for Karen, pray for your dad, pray for your siblings. Start out there or go to another city where nobody knows you. That's what I did. I'd go out there in Walmart, right in the middle of nowhere and get up there. Aisle 8, healing's going on, you know, or something like that. That's what you do. Bring God's kingdom to earth, the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's what he said. Praise God. Now, I'm going to fess up here. I haven't done any outside healing in a long time. If I see, you know, if I see the need, if I ain't in a great big hurry, I'll do it. I should just stop and do it. But I used to do it all the time. But I'm telling you, if y'all knew my schedule, it's been pretty hectic here lately. Okay. Anybody else? My goodness. Yeah. Missy. Well, I'm going to say one thing. I heard this from another pastor, a preacher. He said, the only hindrance to healing is to think that there is a hindrance, is to believe that there is a hindrance to healing. There's no hindrance to healing at all. There is none. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I don't know if I want to bring this up. I didn't realize what time it was. It's kind of
like a
can of worms.
Don't open no can of worms. I'll choke the last slam out of you, and then I'll heal you, bring you back to life, and do it again. Go ahead, Missy. I'm just kidding.
Stuff me in your back pocket. Yeah, I know that whole deal. you know, the man that was at the Pool of Bethesda, whatever, and says there was, huh?
You said what?
In Mark, no, John 5, it says, there is a pool of Bethesda, whatever, and in verse 3, it says, in these lay a multitude of sick that, multitude of them that were sick, blind, halt, withered. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years old in his infirmity. And when Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wouldest thou be made whole? And the sick man answered, and sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Now it says there was a multitude of people sick around there, but he only picked out that one man. Why?
What is that? Why? Tell you something about Jesus that I found out after reading about him a number of times and just looking at what he does. And I don't know if this is a fact or not, but what was his primary thing that he did? Why? What did he always do? What did he tell you? He said, "I'll do nothing unless my Father tells me." In other words, he'd go seek the Lord out. He could have. Remember the time that he went up on a mountain when he had 5,000 people out there to pray for? Same thing. He just left them, turned around, walked off, and went up to the hill to pray. I don't know if that's what the deal was with him at that time. I often wondered about it, but I just figured, you know, that's what it was. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, my thought is, you know, the Father, you know, or their spirit told him, you know, just for some reason, we don't know why, it doesn't say, he picked him out of all the multitude. It doesn't say anything about the others, but he just picked that one.
Yeah.
Why didn't he pray for all of them? You know, I don't know.
I don't know. Why didn't he pray for all that? Those multitudes that were out there, instead of turning around and walking off and going on up in the hill to pray. Cause he figured that praying to the Lord is more important than healing these people. He said, you'll always have the people to pray for. Yeah, Julie.
I've wondered about that too, about why did he go leave the multitudes and get alone with the Father to pray? It's just like after he was probably tired. He probably needed refreshing. He probably needed to get refilled, refocused, strengthened in prayer or whatever.
I think it was a priority for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was just a priority for him to, before he could do anything, he had to get with the Lord and learn, you know, whatever it was. I don't know. And that should be, a lesson for us, that the most important thing is to abide in the Lord, getting close to the Lord, making it a personal relationship with you. That's the most important, and that's what Jesus taught us in all of that. How many times, though, did he go out there, and it says, and he healed them all.
Mm-hmm.
And he healed them all. There was a number of times he did that. Yeah, Judy.
I would guess, because he was only one man and he was, you know, physical, right? Physical limitations that he said too, like when the woman who touched his hem, he knew he felt power leave his body. Yeah. And I think another thing is that physically he needed to be refreshed and refilled with power from on high, yeah, because he's just expending all of himself. Spiritually, physically, and all those, he needs to get, you know, recharged, refreshed.
And you know, he walked sinlessly on this earth. And that's key also, to walk sinlessly, repent of anything that you might have done, thought life, any of that, just repent of it. And then go in there and talk to the Lord, get whatever it is that you want with. And while you're talking to him, you know, you can read your word of God. That's talking to him. He's talking to you through his word also. It's spending time with him, though. That's the most important. Go ahead, Benita.
I was just thinking about where it said, can't remember exactly how it said it, but, you know, he did so many miracles, they couldn't write it all down. There wouldn't be enough volumes to capture it all. So we don't even know what he did. He just talked about that one. So we just don't really know.
Yeah. I know. All the ones that he healed them all. How many? Thousands. And that right there would have wrote a bunch of books, wouldn't it? T.L. Osborne used to do that over in India. You know, he'd said, Lord, I'm too tired to go out there and put my hands on all. Most of the time, he'd go out there and lay hands on him. Most of the time. Sometimes, though, he said, and the Lord would tell him, just walk down through there and let them touch you. And they'll get healed. And he'd do that. And they'd go down through there again. And he'd touch him and he'd get healed. He had more miracles, believe it or not, than anybody else that I've ever read about. Bar none. Over in India. First time he went over there, he came back with his tail between his legs, because the Hindus over there run him out with their little Bible. They had a Bible that looked like his, but it was a Hindu Bible. And they kept arguing with him. He took his wife. He said, bless God, let's go home. I'm tired. Went home, and he found out through some word of faith guy that they could heal people. He was in a, I forget the denomination he was in, but he found out, in fact, he got healed. And then when he found out that the power of God was, could be with him as well, he started seeking the Lord. And then, and then he said, he told his wife, when he come back the first time, he told his wife, I ain't never going to leave the United States again. I'm going to find me a little old church somewhere and I'm going to pastor that the rest of my life. And I ain't going nowhere. And it wasn't 6 months later, he was headed back over to India with the power of God. And when he went back this time, he told those Hindu people, he said, you go find, go find me some deaf people. Bring them back to me. Bring them back to me. I'll show you what my God can do. I don't care about all your thousands of Hindu God. He said, bring them to me. Every one of them got healed. Every one of them got healed because he knew about healing then. And that just the start of his. And he did hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people got healed under his ministry. Yeah, man.
What was his name?
P.L. Osborne. He's dead now, but his wife was, what's her name? I still get stuff from his daughter, I still get stuff from her. T.L. Osborne. He knew Lake and some more. I'm trying to think of Wigglesworth. I think he knew Wigglesworth as well. He used to be on TV a lot on, was years ago.
Tommy.
Okay. Osborne. Yeah, T.L. Osborne. They called him T.M. I think we're out of time. I got 8 after. Okay. Well, it's been a great night. God has really blessed Katie and Tim and Eden. And boy, it blessed us too. Praise God. And blessed a lot of folks out there too. I hope y'all had a great time listening. And Lord, we thank you for being with us all, keeping us, teaching us the things that you want us to know and getting us ready for this great latter day rain that's fixing to fall upon us, Lord. And we praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Katie. Oh, was you just praying? Okay. All right. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed.